Over to Andrew to continue on from Wednesday, I think. But never know what God's got for us, do we? God speaks to us all. And if we've got ears to listen, let's hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us this afternoon. Father, we thank you for what you've already said to us. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for healing. We thank you, Lord, for every good thing that you've given to us. And Lord, we look forward with anticipation to receive yet more at your feet today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise
God is good to us, yeah?
Yes.
Wonderful what God can do. But what we've got to realise as well is that, as already been said, sometimes we're in battles.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've been challenged. And sometimes we even get the enemy comes to try and disturb our peace.
Yes.
And to stand against us, so... He's been trying that with me the last few days.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's not about you.
No.
It's not about me.
Preach it.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
And he's paid the price.
Yeah.
As Bill said, he's taken the guilty verdict.
Thank you.
And he's paid the price. For you and for me.
Yeah.
We have a sign on us that says not guilty.
Amen.
Set free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We are set free.
We are.
And Wednesday evening, it was great to see how the Holy Spirit was moving in bringing us together.
Yes.
And having the same subject of obedience.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
And listening to Ken begin to share on that subject really. He didn't use the exact... What was your word that you used? It was... Yeah, doing what God said. Doing what God said. It's called obedience. And before I came to church, God had said to me, I want you to share about obedience. So I was like, okay. And then... somebody else had, Grace and Rebecca had been talking at the house on obedience, and I wasn't in the conversation. I was in a totally different room. And just the fact that God began to sow and begin to open things together.
Yeah.
I thought today I'd just continue on that line and that subject, really. And just have a look at this in more detail. And of course, Joan tells us that it's even being preached at the moment on TV.
Yeah.
Obedience.
We've been there before.
Yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice.
It is.
So many people can offer a sacrifice and then walk away and think, I've done my bit. Mm. But obedience is 24/7.
It is.
And the enemy will challenge your obedience to God.
Yeah.
And as you say, he visits and says, well, what about this? Will you remember your past? Well, just remember this. That person that had the past is dead.
Amen.
He was crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus took the payment, paid the price.
Amen.
And we sing that song, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. And so that new creation, that brand new man has to learn the obedience to Christ.
Yes.
Because the problem is, you see, the world teaches against obedience, teaches rebellion. That's the spirit of the age, rebellion. And God is not in the spirit of the age.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that God is about to, you know, move and change things.
Yeah.
So, obedience. The dictionary says this. To be submissive to a superior will or to act as a servant. To be dutiful and submissive to God and His Word is what I put. To be dutiful. To mind God's Word. To be submissive to God. And to be submissive to His Word. Let the Word begin to guide you. You see, these days and this generation that we live in, We have governments passing laws. And they pass laws that are anti-God.
Yeah.
They pass laws of rebellions and they say it's okay for a man and another man to have a sexual relationship together. It's okay for two women to have a sexual relationship together. That's not what I read in the Bible. It's not what I read in the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah was like that.
Yeah, it was.
And God passed judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angels came down. And they came down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And they called in on Abraham. And God called in on him to let him know what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And when they went to Sodom and Gomorrah, the men of the town saw that these two new men had arrived. And they went to stay in the house of Lot. And whilst they were staying there that night, men came to the door and said, "Send us out those men. We want to have a relationship with them." And Lot says, "Well, I've got two daughters, take them, they've been with nobody yet." And they said, "No, we want them two men." And God brought judgment down on Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. I don't believe the Bible is a storybook.
No.
They all died. Fire and brimstone came down and destroyed the lot of them. Every one of them. Everyone. I'll show you in the Bible after. I'll give you scripture and everything you can.
You know what, though? I don't agree with, cases like that. I don't agree with it. But, you know, if I could try, how can you say, it's a sin to
No, the lusting. There's a difference between love and lust. And God has put in within each and every one of us a love for Himself. It's pure rebellion. I'll talk to you. No. But God is at work. You see, God is looking for purity in your life. Looking for purity in my life. That's where obedience comes in.
Amen.
God has never sinned. God has never sinned. God is doesn't, you know, God, the presence of sin cannot stand in God's presence.
No.
Darkness cannot stand in the presence of light, can it?
No.
You know, if you go into a room and it's dark, you flick a light on, what happens? Darkness flees, doesn't it? When God, who is light, comes into darkness, darkness disappears.
Yeah.
And that which is pure and holy, God, when He comes into our lives, then He makes us pure and holy.
Amen.
The devil keeps coming along and saying, "Hey, you're not as good as what you say you are." Well, we know that. Well, we know we haven't got there yet. But I'm on the road.
Amen.
And whilst I'm on the road, as long as I keep trying to put one foot in front of the other one, I'm making progress.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And God wants to see you walking closer to Him.
Yeah.
And the only way we'll know what is right and what is wrong is not just by the laws of our land. We'll know what is right and wrong by the Word of God.
Yeah.
This book has been written, started being written over 6,000 years ago. God is, the Word of God says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not change.
Yeah.
And just because situations and circumstances change around us, we change our laws for it to be more acceptable. My God is a God of love.
Amen.
My Jesus is a Jesus of love.
Yeah.
And people may say, "Well, how can your God then pronounce judgment on somebody and cast them into outer darkness?" Because they chose the way they wanted to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you choose a way You take the responsibility, yeah, and you take the price of the punishment or the reward, whichever it may,
yeah,
be,
it,
upon yourself.
Yeah.
Obedience is what directs us and keeps us going forward in the power of God.
Amen.
Obedience to the word. You see, if you love somebody, if you really are in love with somebody, you'll do everything you can to please them,
yeah,
to encourage them,
yeah,
to bless them. Yeah?
Yeah?
You see, today we live in a world where people, they have a form of love, but there's no depth in it.
No.
See, love is not feeling.
No.
That's an emotion.
Yeah.
Lust is an emotion.
Yeah.
Love is not an emotion. It's the very being of God. The very essence of God is love. And from out of that love, an action comes forth,
yeah,
to bless. Now God knows we're wayward. God knows that we're easily distracted. God knows that we need to have some obedience in our lives that will keep us moving forward into His presence.
Yeah.
The children of Israel were known as being disobedient and rebellious.
Yeah, they were.
Weren't they? Stiff-necked. Rebellious.
Yeah.
Got them into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
That's what disobedience brings. Yeah. It brings trouble. In the Bible, obedience occurs 12 times in the New Testament. The word obey appears 69 times in the Bible. 26 times in the New Testament. I think a message is being presented to us.
Yeah.
Obedience 12 times. 12 is the number of perfection of God's divine government, an order.
It is, yeah.
So it's an order.
It is.
God is saying, He's a God who is demanding our obedience. He's demanding that we will act as His servants.
Yeah.
You see, you and I today are representatives of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what does a representative do? A representative acts as and on the behalf of, to be a good influence.
Amen.
Yeah, you're trying to, you know, an ambassador. The old story, an ambassador years ago was a person who represented his country, who represented his king or queen,
yeah,
and he was there to portray a good presence.
Yeah.
That's why ambassadors were there, to present themselves, present their country. And so when you looked at that person, you thought, wow, these are nice people. If this country is like this person, then we want to be connected to them.
Yeah.
And so that's how relationships were developed, because, well, travel wasn't like it is today, is it? You know, we can jump on an aeroplane and in 8 hours we're in America.
Mm.
Those days you got on a ship, the wind blew,
yeah,
the seas roared,
yeah,
and hopefully, maybe a month or so later, you may arrive at your destination,
yeah,
somewhat battered and torn, and, well, you may not arrive. You could be sick on the way and be stricken down by something. So travel wasn't easy.
No.
So it was a risky thing. And so people now have to learn that obedience to God is so important for the future of their lives. You see, obedience, in our obedience, we learn trust in God. We learn trust in God. What is trust? Trust is a firm belief that a person or a thing can be relied upon.
Yeah.
We can feel sure of the loyalty, the reliability, placing trust in belief in relying upon. That's what we can do. But you see, God wants us to come to that point where we trust Him. In our, you see, obedience is not a word that is just carried on its own. Obedience, we obey Him and we trust Him. You see, when you lead an animal, it learns to trust you. And wherever you take that animal, or lead it and direct it, it will go. I remember many years ago, when I was in Poland as a teenager, we went horse riding. Poland was a poor place then. And so we went to the local farmer. He had two horses that he used for ploughing, for pulling the carts with, etc. One of them was 16 years old. Been with this farmer for 16 years. It knew this farmer. The other one was about 2 or 3 years old. Was a little bit more headstrong. Less trusting, I suppose, really. I was given the younger horse to ride on. My friend Andre took the older one. He got on and I sort of got on and just trying to get comfortable, and off he went. And as soon as he went, this younger horse set off. I'm like, whoa, 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 I'm not ready yet. I did not give it any instructions to move. But off it went. And we went down the side of the farmhouse, and there was this low branch on this tree. He ducked and I managed to sort of duck. And, you know, the next thing I look, Andre has gone. He's crossed the main road and he's in a field and he's galloping. Well, we get to the main road, this horse and I, and I'm like, whoa! And this thing just did not, ho-ho, it just went, ho-ho, and off it went, high old silver, and away we go. It just shot across this main road. If there had been anything coming, it would have been horse meat. No, it would have been horse meat, you know, would have been on the local menu. Yeah, we've been in Tesco's menu list now. And this horse took off across. Well, it just carried on. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And in the end, I just thought, whoa, this ain't going to happen, is it? So I just got off. I just left it. Thankfully, the grass was quite thick and the ground was quite soft. But I just bailed out. I thought, I'm not riding this. You see, that horse didn't trust me. But it trusted the old horse. And whatever the old one did, the young one would do. And we proved this, because I got back on the horse and settled again. I said, right, okay, I'm going to take control of this horse. Well, that was a stupid thought in the first place. I remember as we were riding a pathway, there was a tree in the middle of the pathway. Andre went to the right. So I thought, we're going to go to the left. So, you know, Scripture says, put a bridle in a horse's mouth, and, you know, you tug on it to the left, and it will go left. Not this one. I tugged on it to the left, and its head went left, and it went to the right. I mean, it's like a dysfunctional horse. I'm like, everything that the other one did, the young one did. It was an imitator of the old horse. It followed it wherever it went. It did exactly what it did. You know, probably when it was first brought to the farm, the old horse said to it, now listen to me. If you want to get into trouble, ignore my advice. If you want to succeed and have a good life, follow me and obey me. And it took the advice, I guess, by the look of it. In fact, later on, Andre took the young horse and a friend, and they said, we'll sort this horse out. I said, Be my guest. I took the old one and rode the old one for the rest of the day. Andre read this, carried on riding this young one. By the time he got back, he had blisters on his hands, trying to make this horse do what he wanted it to do. It would not obey anybody else other than what it knew to be true, that it could trust. We need to learn to trust and obey. Because there is no other way. If you want to be happy and content in Jesus, then you're going to have to learn to trust him and obey his word. We have to obey the word of God in such a way that it challenges society. It challenges what is going on in the world around us. Just because the government has passed a law does not mean it is it's right with God's word. In Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And verse 18. This is God speaking to Abraham. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
Amen.
Why? Because you have obeyed my voice.
Amen.
Wow. There's power in obedience. That's an interesting concept. Many people think there's weakness in obedience. That's actually today's modern thinking.
Yeah.
Modern thinking says if you're doing as you're told, you're weak.
Yeah.
You should have your own mind. You should have your own opinion. You should be opinionated and just do what you want to do. Well, look where it gets people.
Yeah.
We've seen this last few days on the news. The soldier on the streets of London,
yeah,
hacked to death.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know exactly what happened, but these people worship a God that is not my God. They worship a God who is not a God of love.
No.
Who is not a God of forgiveness.
No.
And they say it's okay to do these things. Their law says it's all right to do what they've done. Doesn't agree with my God.
No.
And I believe there's only one God. There's only one Lord and there's only one Saviour. And my God is a God of love.
Yes.
And my God says, love one another as I have loved you. That I sent my only begotten Son who died on a cross for your sins, for your sicknesses, for your diseases, that you might have eternal life.
Amen.
That's my God.
Yeah.
My God's prepared to give everything to get you out of the mess that you're in right now.
Amen.
That's my God.
Yeah.
But in getting us out of that mess, to stop us falling back into the quagmire of life, into the despair and the slough of despond, then God needs you and I to obey him.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, we'll fall off the edge again.
Yeah,
we'll fall into sin.
We'll
fall into bad practice. We'll fall into bad habits. We'll fall into bad ways.
Yeah.
But if we will obey the word of God will direct us through the most difficult pathways of life. Through the greatest challenges in life, the word of God will direct us.
Amen.
And move us forward.
Yeah.
And we will see victory after victory as we trust the word of God.
Yes.
But we have to learn to obey the word of God.
Yeah.
We have to learn to obey God, who is the author and finisher of all things. He's the creator of all things. The great challenge is for you and I to obey.
Mm.
Even when we were children, There was rebellion in us, disobedience. Wasn't there? How many of us years ago had to be corrected? Yeah, few hands going up. You know, bit of a round the ear. And if that didn't work, might arrange a slipper or a belt. Come here and I'll... Oh, you're not allowed to do that today. Let them please themselves. Let them do what they want. Yeah, you leave a child to go and do what it wants and it will bring destruction upon itself. Obedience and discipline in our lives is so important. I mean, we work in Teen Challenge every week just about. I meet with people every week. The greatest problem they have is discipline and obedience. I tell them to meet me at so and such, such and such a time, because I want to bring some discipline, I want to bring some obedience into their life to prepare them for life and the future. Do they turn up to their appointments? That's only just giving them a time. Not asking for much more. Does it happen? No. Why? Sadly, they've got used to be living in a rebellious state. And they don't know a better way. And they cannot see a way out of their darkness. Cannot see a way out of their pain. Sin has taken such a grip on their life and brought so much rebellion into their life that they think it's the normal lifestyle. Normality for them is different for it is for me. Stephen will tell you. Lifestyle of a drug addict is totally different. It's actually painful. It's traumatic. It all starts off with good intentions. Doesn't it? You know, feeling a bit depressed, you know, having a bad time. Try a bit of this. This will help you. Get a buzz from it. Make you feel happy. See what it's just a feeling. It don't last. They'll tell you, oh, it gives me peace. But it don't last. I gotta go and get another bag or a bigger bag and some more bags just to keep that bit of peace. Yeah, if you trust, obey God, the Prince of Peace will come into your life.
He will.
And He will rule and reign
Amen.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
And the drug addicts, I mean the drug dealers, they'll be skint and broke. I'll have to go and find a job maybe.
Amen.
Glory to God. A proper job.
Yeah.
But God, you see, wants to set everybody free.
Yeah.
But He can only set you free when you begin to move into obedience with Him. You see, our freedom comes through the obedience we have in God.
Yeah.
Some people think that obeying God means that you can't do this, you can't have that, you can't be this, you can't go here. It's like, I don't want to be an alcoholic. I don't want to be a drug addict. I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to be a sexual abuser. What I do want is I want to see what God can do in my life. I want to be like Jesus. He's my example. He laid hands on the sick. And they recovered. He spoke the word of God and people's eyes were opened. He spoke the word of God and lives were changed. He fed 5,000 men, women and children. God, through Jesus, was ministering and touching the world. He's my pattern. I want to imitate Him. Paul says, be an imitator of me, as I am an imitator of Jesus. He was saying that not because he wanted people to boast on Paul, because Jesus was already dead. But what he was saying is, I did meet Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know what he's saying, and I know what we should, what I should do. And therefore, if it's easier for you to look at me and to imitate what I'm doing,
yeah,
to get you to that place of coming into contact with Jesus, then do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be an imitator. Be an imitator of Jesus. Genesis chapter 24, 26 and verse 4. Genesis 26 and verse 4. And God again is speaking to Abraham. And he says to him, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven.
Amen.
And I will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We are blessed through our obedience. Through the obedience of Abraham.
Amen. Yeah.
He was a man that reached out to God.
Yeah.
And God reached out to him. And because of his obedience to God, you and I are blessed.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so we can move on into a deeper relationship with the Lord. But each time God is looking, that you and I will reach out and say, I just want to obey you, Lord.
Yeah.
I just want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, you'll make mistakes occasionally. Don't get beaten up by it.
No.
Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah.
Exodus 19. Exodus chapter 19. And verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples. For all the earth is mine, says God. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That comes out of our obedience to God.
Yeah.
And out of our obedience to God, God is saying, I'm going to make you something. Out of our obedience to God, he's saying to you, I'm going to develop something in you that the world has never seen before.
Amen.
But it only comes out of our obedience. When I was a young man, learning a trade as an apprentice, one thing I had to learn and learn quickly was the man that was training me, I had to obey him.
Yeah.
If I wanted to learn anything, if I wanted to gain his skills,
yeah,
then I had to listen and I had to do what he did. I had to obey. And if I didn't want to learn, I just didn't obey. And then guess who lost out?
Yeah.
Me. So I learned, I've been brought up to obey. And knowing that in obeying, I would receive such a blessing.
Yeah.
I would receive wisdom. I would receive knowledge and understanding,
yeah,
in obeying. So I learned to obey.
Yeah.
And in that obeying, I was given blessings. I was given wisdom, I was given knowledge, I was given skills and understandings, which I can still use today.
Amen.
I can still use them today. But if I'd chosen to ignore him, it wouldn't be long before they'd got rid of me. Then I wouldn't have the skills that I can use today. I wouldn't have the abilities that I have for today. Obedience is not something that is detrimental to you.
No.
It is actually something that people want to bless you through your obedience.
Yeah.
And so as we obey God, we will have tremendous blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 30. A well-known chapter. Many Bibles will entitle it Curses or Blessings. You choose. That sounds good to me. Take the blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 30. So it shall be when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you. And you return to the Lord your God and obey Him.
Amen.
With all your heart, with all your soul, according to all that I command you today.
Yeah.
You and your sons. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity.
Amen.
And have compassion on you. And will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. And so it goes on, and these are the promises. But all these things will only come to pass in their obedience.
Yeah.
And you choose, it's basically saying, the word says basically, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said it, choose you this day who you will serve.
Yeah.
Who are you going to serve? But what do you want? Blessings or curses?
Blessings.
Blessings come from God.
Yeah.
Trouble, strife and curses come from the devil.
Yeah.
Don't get into a relationship. Don't get into conversation with the devil.
Amen.
Keep yourself free.
Yeah.
Obey the Lord. And in obeying Him, you'll see God moving in a mighty way in your life. The world standard is not to obey. They brought into schools, into our schools, oh, let the children do what they want. Let them do their own thing. Just let them find themselves. What are they going to find? The Bible tells me that in sin we were conceived. The Bible tells me that the very nature of our life is sinful. So what are you going to find if that's your nature? You are going to find sin. You don't have to teach somebody to do bad things. It seems they gravitate to it all the time.
Yeah.
People steal. People go to work, they get paid a good wage, and yet they still steal from work.
Yeah.
They steal things, they steal time. Why do they do it? Because deep within them, is the sinful nature that constantly will do the wrong thing. See, a drug addict, alcoholic, steals to feed their habit. They don't go to work, do they? To feed their habit, because there comes a point when sin overtakes them so much, they can't work. They don't have the ability. They want to. They say they want to, but this has got such a grip on their life.
Yeah.
It's like a stranglehold. And it's squeezing the very life out of them.
Yeah.
This young man turned up this last Friday. 2 weeks ago, he was absolutely drunk. And he came and he apologized for being drunk. He says, did I do anything, say anything wrong? And he's just, you know, just said to him, no, you didn't. You were okay, really. And he says, there's just sometimes something gets hold of me. and I just do these things. We need to let God get hold of us.
Amen.
When we let God get hold of us, then hopefully we'll start to do the things of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Joshua said, "Ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We will obey the Lord."
Yeah.
Serve means to obey. Obey means to serve God.
Yeah.
But you see, when you bring that out to Christians even, they don't want to obey. They want to do their own thing. They want to be their own masters. They want to direct their own destiny. It's not yours anymore. If you gave your life to Jesus, you are no longer master of your life.
That's it.
You're no longer master of your destiny. And for the last 46 years, I've not been the master of my destiny.
No.
I've had to live for Him. Mm. Paul says, for me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
To die is gain.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed what I've done.
Amen.
I'll admit there have been times in it when there has been some pain. But the only time that you feel pain is when you forget that what is happening to you, if it's coming from another person for another group, they're actually doing this to Jesus, not to you. But it does bring us pain. It does cause us sometimes to think, well, maybe I'll stop doing it. But as Paul said again, for me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
To die is gain. And I'm dying, you know, we're dying to self daily.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible says, you know, crucify the flesh daily.
Yeah.
Every morning you get up, your flesh gets up with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? I just want to please myself. Tough. We're about, you see, God's, it's about the fact of you and I being a God pleaser.
Yeah.
Today, have you pleased God? Don't want you to answer me. Today, have you pleased God? You might say, well, how do I please Him? I'll give you a simple answer. Obey Him. Obey Him. That pleases Him.
Amen.
You're going to obey Him, you're going to listen.
Yeah.
It just expands. You know, a parent is so delighted with their children when they're obedient.
Yeah.
Because why? A parent has such a love for their children, they want to see them do good. Your parents want you to do good. Your parents want you to succeed. Trouble is, you know, teenagers that get to a certain age. You know, children are wonderful when they're little, they say. They get to a certain age, teenagers, and then they become obnoxious. They know it all. Don't tell me what to do. I know everything, really. Wow, I don't know. You know, and there they are. They know everything. They've got the internet now. They even know more than everything now. They may know everything, but they have no life experience. America is a simple thing we can... They have guns. Everybody can just about have a gun in America. And in recent years, the number of mass murders that have gone on from teenage hands doing their own thing. They push God out of school. We don't need God in school. Push Him out. Where's your protection? My protection comes from God. My guidance comes from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. I don't want a gun. I don't want to go and shoot anybody. But if the devil can get hold of somebody's mind, and we go around and saying, there is no God, God is dead, so why do we need to obey Him? And people are preaching that. There is no God. You just came out the slime.
Never.
Do you know when you start preaching that, people act like slime.
Yeah, yeah.
They kill, steal, rob, destroy. And they become part of the gutter of life, which is so sad. God did not create you and me to live in a gutter life mentality. God did not create you and I to live in that way. He created us for a blessing. When you read the Bible, when you turn to the book of Genesis, the very first three chapters, God created an environment that was beautiful, that was spotless, that was sinless. Everything was provided. God created it. But disobedience came in. A friend of ours, Bish, said, you know, every time you find dis before a word, it's usually sinful. Rebellion, demonic. God created a world for us that we might have the best. Well, thank God Jesus came to restore back to you and me so that we might become obedient to God.
Yeah.
We might have a relationship with God that we might start to move on in a better way.
Yeah.
And as we obey the Word of God, now you say, well, how do I learn to obey the Word of God? Well, number one, you've got to start reading it.
Yeah.
Number two, you've got to get together with other brothers and sisters who want the same thing, to obey God.
Yeah.
Who want to move forward. Because when we obey, we shall see signs, wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
It says in the Psalms, when the brethren dwell together in unity, when they're obeying God together in unity, God commands the blessing, life forevermore.
Amen.
Woo. So many people are full of pride. It's all about me. It's what I need. What I've got to have. But God never takes first place.
No.
God wants first place in your life.
He does.
And when we begin to obey God, we will give God first place in our lives.
Amen.
It's like I said, Paul again said, for me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
To die is gain. In other words, I have put God, he said, first in my life. I have placed the Lord Jesus as first in my life. Everything I'm going to do, I'm doing it because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything I have is because of Jesus.
Amen.
Everything I am going to be has to be because of Jesus.
Amen?
Amen. Without Jesus in our life, my life will be a wreck and a mess. And I know people sometimes can look at me and say, oh, it's okay for you. You've had things easy.
Mm-hmm.
You've never lived with me. You've never lived with what we've done. You've never been where we've been. I've never been where you've been. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. Neither a gold one either. But I was born to serve Christ.
Amen.
And in serving Him, God is no man's debtor.
He is definitely not.
And God said, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. But can we say that to Him? I'll never leave you, God. I'll never forsake you. It's only when we become obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we become totally submissive, when we turn to Him as that slave, that servant that says, Lord, I don't want my freedom. You know, in the times of Jewish slaves and that, when a slave was so, had worked for the master for 7 years, there were times when they were allowed to go free. And there came some points where there were some servants and slaves where they were so well looked after, so well thought of by their master, and they themselves acted in the same way towards their master. They were like family.
Yeah.
And the slave would turn around and say, I don't want my freedom. Because
no.
I know that if I got out there, my life might be a wreck.
Yeah.
But what I want to be is part of this family.
Yeah.
I want to stay here forever.
Yeah.
And so what they would then do, they used to take the slave and they used to take him to the doorpost of the house. And they used to take his earlobe. And they used to pierce it. Marking that he was now committed to this household. He was part of this forever. For the rest of his life.
Amen.
It was a sign there was no more turning back.
Yeah.
I started this roadway.
Yeah.
I started this route.
Yeah.
And I'm staying with it. Until I die.
Yeah.
He obeyed his master.
Amen.
Until he died.
Yeah.
He lived there. Until he died.
Amen.
It's all about obedience. It's all about obedience. People don't want to obey. They want to have their own way. Having their own way is actually called rebellion. And the prophet said to Paul, Saul, King Saul, it is better to obey than to offer sacrifices. Saul disobeyed. Because Samuel didn't turn up, he decided to take Samuel's place, went above his station and offered the sacrifices. He disobeyed the command of the prophet, which was kill everything, slaughter everything, get rid of the rubbish. Our obedience is about getting rid of the rubbish in our lives. And when we get rid of the rubbish that is in our lives that seeks to hold us back, things that, as Bill said, our past seeks to try and pop up.
Yeah.
The enemy will remind you. Have you noticed he never reminds you how good you were?
No.
He never reminds you how good life was before you were a Christian. Has he? That should tell us something immediately. If the devil can't remind you how good life was before you were a Christian, then obviously life wasn't too good.
Yeah.
Because he never says, what, do you remember them great times you used to have with so-and-so and so-and-so? Never reminds you of them, does he?
Yeah.
Always tells you how unworthy, how dirty, how guilty you are. How worthless you are, how useless you are, what a wicked sinner you are, and you're just putting on a charade. You know, you just like, you get dressed to come to church, and that's just what you do each time. And he attacks you. God says, I've forgiven you.
Amen.
He says, the old one's dead.
Yes.
Breathe new life. God breathed new life into you.
Amen.
Gave you a good slap on the back and said, be born again in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ha.
Amen.
Born again. New life. Taking that first breath of the Spirit. Being filled. Full. And overflowing.
Yeah.
And in that fullness there comes that obedience to God. And God looks down and says, this is one of my beloved sons.
Yeah.
Come on, he said it of Jesus. This is one of my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Because Jesus obeyed.
Yeah, he did.
And through, because he obeyed, we know that God says, this is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. So guess what? When we obey, God is saying, hey, this, she's my beloved.
Amen.
In whom I am well pleased.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's like God said, what can I do for her? What can I give to her? Obedience is something to rejoice in. Obedience is a blessing. Obedience is something that gives us life with an absolute joy and abundance. We've seen that as we obey His voice, we see the hand of God moving through our lives and circumstance changes. We don't obey just because things are going good. We even obey when things are tough. Because in our obedience through even the tough times, God will bring us out the other side with a blessing. Jay, when you look at the life of Job, he was obedient to God.
Yeah.
And the devil said, give me an opportunity. I'll show you how much he really obeys you. Just let me get my hands on him. Let me get my hands on his things. God says, you can't take his life.
Yeah.
But everything else, have a go at it. Now we know when we read the end of the book, he gets a double portion.
Amen.
Why? Because he obeyed.
Amen.
Because he trusted. He had a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And he obeyed. And God gave him a double portion. Double years,
yeah.
Double finances, double blessings, double children.
Yeah.
Everything just kept doubling on his life.
Yeah.
God wants to bless you.
Amen.
But we're blessed when we obey.
Yeah.
Trust
and obey.
For there is no other way, the song goes, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Praise God. I like him. Psalm 112 says that the righteous man, wealth and great riches are in his house. Wealth and riches are in his house. And hey, when you look at all the old patriarchs in the Old Testament, they were blessed men. And as Andrew said, Job, the devil took everything off Job and God allowed it. But boy, did God bless him in abundance. So stick in there because God will reward you for your obedience and your faithfulness. And I just love it. I just love him more and more. Praise God. It's time to give. And God says he loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. You know, if God's got your money, he's got your heart. And it's just a pleasure to give to him. So let's do it. Let's give to God and be blessed. Amen.